Over in the book of Zephaniah, if you've got your Bibles, you can turn to the second chapter and the first verse. And I want to talk to you just a few minutes. It says, gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nations not desired, before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. For Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at the noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted up. Woe unto the inhabitants of the sea coast, the nations of the Cherethites. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, the land of the Philistines. I will even destroy thee, that there shall be no inhabitant. And the sea coast shall be dwellings and cottages for shepherds and folds for flock. And the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. They shall feed thereupon in the houses of Ashkelon. Shall they lie down in the evening? For the Lord their God shall visit them and turn away their captivity. I have heard the reproach of Moab and the reviling of the children of Ammon, whereby they have reproached my people and magnify themselves against their border. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, surely Moab shall be as Sodom and the breeding of nettles and salt pits and a perpetual desolation. The residue of my people shall spoil them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them. This shall they have for their pride, because they have reproached and magnified themselves against the people of the Lord of hosts. The Lord will be terrible unto them, for he will famish all the gods of the earth, and men shall worship him, every one from his place, even all the isles of the heathens. Ye Ethiopians also, ye shall be slain by my sword. And he will stretch out his hand against the north and destroy Assyria, and will make Nineveh a desolation and dry like a wilderness. And flocks shall lie down in the midst of her, all the beasts of the nations. Both the cormorant and the bittern shall lodge in the upper lintels of it. Their voice shall sing in the winders. Desolation shall be in the threshold. For he shall uncover the cedar work. This is the rejoicing city that dwelt carelessly, that said in her heart, I am, and there is none besides me. Now is she become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down in. Every one that passeth by her shall hiss and wag his hand. You know, we read all of these things about the judgments of God and the things of God. Give the warnings about all of these things, and we cry continually. The Bible said, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Show my people of their transgressions, the house of Jacob of their sins. They delight to come before me, to come to church, to seek me, to seek my face. They act as though they are a people that have never sinned against God, have not sinned against God. But he said, cry, tell them of their sins. Tell the house of Jacob of the transgressions, of the things that are marked up, laid up against them in the day of the judgment, when God shall be angry with the nations and God shall bring forth the judgments from on high. When we read all of these things in the Old Testament, we are always reminded that these things are an example unto us and to them that live ungodly. Paul, looking back, he tells us that all of these things back there at that time was an example unto you and unto me and all of the others that refuse to heed the judgments of God, or that refuses to honor the house of God with your presence, or that refuses to support the cause of God, or that refuses to be in harmony with the move and the ways of God. All of these things are an example unto you that if you refuse, if you do these things that are evil, then the judgments of God will come upon you as it did upon them. You know, I personally think that God is a great God. To think that God would take all of this back there that happened before I was ever born, let somebody record it, that it might be in my day that I might read, inasmuch as I don't know, inasmuch as I would not have known, in that I could not have feared God because I did not know God. But God, considerate, not wanting to destroy me, not wanting to hurt me, but wanting to help me, let all of this history be wrote concerning the judgments of God and the people that went in error and all of the kings that disobeyed God and the people that were contrary to God, wrote the history of them and sent it to Brother Pike and to you and to America and to the world. Down through the years, God brought it so that you and I might understand that we cannot sin against God. We cannot sin against God. We mustn't sin against God. We're told by these things that God was not pleased with those generations, that God was not pleased with those rulers. And folks, here we are with that knowledge and with that understanding, God being so good to us as to having told us, what will God do to us? What will God do to us if we disobey God? If we trample over the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? If we live a hypocritical, half-hearted life? What will God do to us? You know, we're living in one of the most mixed up, messed up days that there ever has been in the history of the world. I was reading a little article tonight. A man saying some things that was really stirring. Really stirring. Trying to prove by numerical order and really a lot of other things, real outstanding things, that the Bible was true. Outstanding things that he had done. And showing that scientists running in a parallel with the Bible all down through the years, all kind of history, natural history, ethics, ports, science, everything. He said it's proved to be nothing but a bunch of junk. Said down through the years and making a comparison, just 60 years, he said, those people have been so crossed up, so contrary, so contradictory to one another that it's just one big mess and a bunch of junk, he called it. He said, but the Bible said it's positively proven itself to be perfect, line upon line, precept upon precept, and what it said 2,500 years ago is substantiated today by proof rather than being offset by the signs of the times or the happenings of the time. People are mixed up. I had the couple that came down from Tennessee. They came to me and they talked with me. And one of the brethren had been down a number of times. He's there from a Baptist church. And he said, Brother Pike, he said, I'm going to have to make a confession. He said, when I came here, he said, I was real critical of you and my thoughts and whatever. He said, but after coming these times, he said, I am persuaded that this is a great thing. A great thing. And he said, I want to ask you a few more questions. You know, the world is mixed up. The world is mixed up. He asked me a number of questions. Things that he was disturbed about because there's doctrines that uphold those things that he believed in. And I answered him one right after another until his heart was thoroughly satisfied. And he and the other boy returned back rejoicing in their heart. But I remember one thing particular I've heard for a number of years. That is what Paul said concerning fornication. That a man had committed fornication with his own mother. Said, such a one, get out from among you. Turn him over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of judgment. And he was convinced of what they had taught him, what you have heard, and what many others have heard down through the years. That means when a man does wrong, turn him over to the devil. Let the devil destroy his flesh and God will save his spirit. Folks, there ain't no such teaching in the Bible. Where do you get any such foolishness as that? There ain't no such teaching in the Bible. When people talk about turning somebody over to the devil so that the devil will destroy their flesh that God might save their spirit, that's foolishness. God didn't say that. The Bible didn't say that. That wasn't what Paul said. But that's the interpretation that people get because they don't go to God to get the answer. They take something that somebody has said, or they don't analyze it, don't search it out to see what it is, and they incorporate those things in a man's mind to substantiate such teachings as predestination or some doctrinal point to get their teachings over and cause men to die and go to hell when those men could have had a clear understanding. I tell you again in the name of the Lord, there won't be one person in heaven that turned away from God and went out into the world and was found at death in that condition. Not one person. I made the statement, you can teach what you want to and preach what you want to, but faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God, and we're saved by faith in the word of God. Your belief don't mean a hill of beans. Because somebody said something, because you believe something, because your grandmother taught it, and you believe it, that's not faith. You can believe a lie and go to hell. You can believe everything's all right and lean to your own understanding and die and go into the flames. One thing we've got to get clear is no people that do wrong are going to be in heaven. There ain't going to be nobody in heaven that does wrong. Not one person. If one person that is evil and wicked, one person that's doing the things of the world, that is found in that condition at death, if one person goes into the kingdom of God, I'm a liar and ain't a word of truth in me. If just one person, not two, not thousands of them, if just one person goes there. Brother, sister, I tell you again in the name of the Lord, if God destroyed all of Sodom and Gomorrah and spared only righteous Lot, and if God destroyed all of the people of the world and spared just righteous Noah, and if God destroyed all of the people that he brought out of Egypt and didn't spare nobody but just Caleb and Joshua, don't you know that if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, he hasn't changed his mind? Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, what you don't understand is that Jesus died for the sins of the people. No, that's what you don't understand. Not me. I understand very thoroughly what he's saying. You don't understand it. Anybody that tells you that the blood of Jesus is going to cover iniquity and cover evil so that a person can practice wrong, they are a liar. They are a liar, and the biggest kind of a liar. They're of their father the devil because he was a liar from the beginning. And they're out to pervert the judgment of God and to hinder the cause of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was never given but for one purpose. That is to save the elect. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he said, Father, I have not lost a one of them. Not a one of them. Now he said there was one other fellow that came along. But I told him he was a devil from the beginning. Said I had to mark him off of the list. You understand what I'm saying? 12 of you I've chosen. One of you is a devil. It was prophesied before he was ever born. Let another his bishopric take. But I've not lost a one of them, Father. Every one that you give me, I'll raise him up in the last day. Every one of them. And I say again, people say, but look at all of them precious souls. Brother Pike, that love God, that live for God, that's gone back to the slop holes of the world, there ain't never been one like that. There ain't never been one like that. God ain't never had a son that ever come to him that went back to feed with the hogs. Amen. You say, but the prodigal did. The Bible don't say the prodigal did. Where did you get that? It said he would have. But he came to his senses. God don't have sons feeding in hog pens. Sons of God don't feed in hog pens. You say, but Brother Pike, all of those people went out away from us when they were good Christian people. The Bible said if they had been of us, they would have stayed out of the hog pen. If they had been of us, they no doubt would be with us today. They no doubt would have continued with us, the Bible says. But they went out from us that all the world might see them feed in the hog pens. And all the world might know that they were never of us, never of us, never of us. They never were of us. Then who were they? The Bible said they're spots, blemishes. These are spots, blemishes. In your feast of charity, or while you feed off of the spirit of love. These are spots and these are blemishes in your feast of charity. They are wells that don't have any water in them. They're all dried up. There's no spirit in those people. These are stars that doesn't have any God in them, any light in them, any understanding in them. All they do is reflect you. They reflect you in your light. But they're wandering stars. They don't belong to Bethlehem. They don't belong to any other church. They don't belong to anything but their own unreasonable way of life and their own unreasonable thinking to gossip, backbite, find fault, and excuse themselves from the service and from the toil and from the work that God has set forth for the sons of God. I must be about my Father's business. Wandering stars. And what does the Bible say about those people? The mist of darkness is reserved for these kind of people forever. A third part of the reflectors fell from heaven. Now, a third part that was reflectors. Folks, as I said a little bit ago, God didn't ever say that you could turn somebody over to the devil and the devil could destroy his body and his spirit would be saved. God has never said that. Paul made it clear in his writings. He said, get such a one out from among you. Know ye not that a little leaven will leaven the whole lump? It's obvious when he said leaven the whole lump, he's speaking of the church. Why would he use the terms, a little leaven will leaven the whole lump? If you put the person out from you, he's not talking about you. That little leaven will leaven your whole lump. Now, if I had sin in my heart, it would leaven me. But he said, that person, put him away from you, away from the church, away from the brotherhood. Know ye not that a little leaven will leaven the whole lump? Know ye not that one rotten apple will get the whole barrel? Don't you understand if evil communications corrupt good manners? Said, get that person out from among you, turn him over to the devil, and let the devil destroy him, that the Spirit of God may remain in the church, that it may stay in the church, that the Spirit may be saved. Are you going to save a fornicator, corrupt the entire church, that the Spirit of God be driven off? Save the Spirit, he said. Turn that man over to the devil so the Spirit can be saved. In the day of the judgment, that is in the church, get a member out, cut the branch off so the tree won't rotten. If you've got five brethren, one of them's rotten, get him out before the rest of the body rottens. Don't you know that God is going to let a man live like the devil, act like the devil, be like the devil, and do like the devil? Let him drink, let him curse, let him do anything he wants to. And then in the day of judgment say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I had to let the devil take you out there to the hog pens, and I know you had a frolic all your life, and I know you destroyed, but well done, thou good and faithful spirit, enter into the joys of the Lord. And then he turned to another person that lived holy and just and righteous, and he said, now I told you to be perfect even as I'm perfect. I told you to perfect holiness in your life, to go on to be perfect even as your Father's perfect. I told you to be holy in body and in spirit. Well done, thou good body and spirit. Enter in where the other spirit went. You know that don't make sense. Enter in where the other rotten body went. Folks, there ain't going to be no such days. I know that sounds like a kind of a crude way to express it. But I want you to understand, there ain't nobody going to heaven that's in that kind of condition. There ain't nobody going to get through the gates of glory like that. The Bible said all that are without that gates are dogs and whoremongers and liars and cheats, all of these things. Said they that do these things, know ye not that they shall not inherit the kingdom of God? But he said it is so straight that you should strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many shall try and not be able. For few there be that find it. Few. Multitudes shall be turned into hell. There ain't but one way to get to heaven. And my brother, that is you're going to be a godly, holy person. Now you take it from Brother Pike that that's absolutely thus saith the Lord. You're going to be godly and you're going to be holy, or you're going to be turned into the flames of a lake of fire. God isn't going to let one unholy person go through them gates. Blessed and holy are they that have part in that first resurrection. Holy are they. Now it is time, Revelation says, to reward God's holy apostles and prophets. Blessed and holy. And the Bible said these have made themselves clean, pure, in the blood of the Lamb. And there was granted unto every one of them fine linen. Holy, pure, godly. Oh, brother and sister, listen. You've got to do everything you can to think the right thoughts 24 hours around the clock, year after year. You've got to strive to enter in. Struggle with all of your might. Every day, praying always that you may be accounted worthy to escape the things that's coming on this earth. For this cause, disobedience, the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. So then, there's one thing about it. You might live a Christian life. You might stumble. You might err. I do. Everybody does. We might stumble. We might stagger as we struggle, doing our very best. And the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all sin. But the man that doesn't make any efforts to keep them thoughts holy and pure, that doesn't wrestle against the evil debauchery of harassment, of corrupt thinking, the man that doesn't struggle every thought, every impulse, every intent of the heart, the man that doesn't struggle to deny his flesh, to deny his appetites, to deny his worldly desires, to become spiritual, to become godly, to become holy, to add godliness to our experience, faith to our experience, virtue to our experience, temperance to our experience, brotherly kindness to our experience, all of these things. The man, the woman that doesn't do that will be lost. The Bible said, prove yourselves. Prove yourselves. Make sure you're calling. Prove yourselves by doing these things, seeing if godliness is in you. Seeing if brotherly kindness is in you. Seeing if charity is in you. Seeing if virtues are in you. Seeing if faith is in you. Seeing if devoutness is in you. Seeing if you're filled with holiness. Said, prove your calling. Make it sure. Don't be foolish. Find out if you're one of them. Because if your nature cannot do this, you're not one of them. If you don't have a holy, godly, pure, virtuous nature, you are not one of the saints of God and not one of the elect. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be, my brother, sister, that finds it. So then I say again, the world is mixed up. Things incorporated in doctrines, not knowing where they're going, not knowing what they're doing, not knowing what to say, what to tell, or how to live, because preachers are constantly mixing them up. And somebody says, oh, bless God, I can't stand that preacher. I want to go to this preacher. He makes me feel good. Brother, you'll go to hell for sure if you go by your feelings and you go by what you like and the preacher you like, you'll go to hell for sure. There ain't no way to escape it. Because the Bible said they shall heap to themselves teachers. They'll find their own teachers, their own desire. But you've got to receive the man of God. You've got to receive the ministry. God put a ministry in the earth. Not a bunch of preachers that's looking for an offering. Not somebody that's looking for a TV show and a big tent and some kind of kingdom or empire. God didn't put them kind of folks here for the perfecting of your faith. He put a man of God here. He put a ministry here that they might preach holiness and preach the gospel and tell you of your evils and to lift up their voice like a trumpet to show my people, he said, of their sins. For they have forsaken me. For my people have committed two evils. One of these evils, they have forsaken me. They have forsaken me. They come to church. They act like they're still with me. They act like they're still worshiping me. But they've forsaken me. You know, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word is God. When you leave off the Word and you get your mind away from the Word of God and you incorporate in your thinking, your desire, and your feelings, you've forsaken God because God is the Word. They've forsaken me, the living God, and the second evil that they've committed is that they have hewn themselves out cisterns, and that is their vessels, their bodies, their hearts. He said it's full of holes and it won't hold living water. They have hewn them out broken cisterns. They won't hold water. They won't hold water. I can stand up here and pour living water into some of you for the next 3 hours. But you're all cracked up. You're all broken up. And when you leave the sanctuary, all of it goes out. And you don't have a bit of spiritual strength, a bit of spiritual drive, a bit of spiritual ego. You go right back to the televisions and you sit there with that filth coming out of Hollywood and coming out of the studios. You pick up the newspaper and you eat and drink of that filth. You pick up magazines and you listen to tape players and radio and all kind of things and feed off of the evils of life. You go back to the same slop hole of communicating with them people that you communicate with in the world that you can get a dollar out of and compromise with them in any way, even if it's taking a little swig with them so that you can make a dollar. Somebody say, there's one thing about it, Brother Pike. You won't never find this brother taking a little swig. Some of you are so drunk off of life, you wobble every time you come through the church doors. That's all you do is sip off of the bottle. The Bible said, be not drunken with the cares of this life. Oh, my brother, that day will come upon you unawares. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? Don't you think I've got some sense? Don't you know I know that things are happening? I know you do. But you are not making any preparations. You're not trying to get holy. You're not trying to get godly. You're not trying to find any position in life to where you can do something for God, to make any sacrifice for God, or to correct the disorders of your life. Look at the Iranian crisis. Even men like Billy Graham saying that it's bringing on the Armageddon. Men all around the world know that the end of the world's here. But knowing that the end of the world is here, that doesn't mean anything. The Bible said you know not the day nor the hour. That day will come upon you unawares. You say, well, I know when it's coming. I want you to know that it's on you right now. And you don't know. Jesus stood and wept and said, Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, if you had only known the hour of your visitation. He said, but now your houses are left unto you desolate. And I won't be back, he said, until ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Your vessels won't hold water. Your temple, your houses, Peter said, this tabernacle, Paul, they spoke of you being the house of God. Folks, people are fixing to go into one of the greatest spiritual dilemmas that the world has ever known. There is a cry from evangelists that the world's greatest revival is here. I agree that the world's greatest revival is here for the saints of God that are fixing to take being taken out of the world. But as sure as I'm living in this world, the greatest detriment to mankind is right at hand, the Antichrist is fixing to come upon him. The tribulation has come upon him, and he's going to wonder where that great revival is that's supposed to come, that's going to give him a lot of time to lounge around and get ready to meet God. You say, but Brother Pike, I haven't had my say yet. God can't bring the end. Brother, your saying, my saying, their saying, our say don't mean nothing to God. God's fixing to have his say. Men have had a chance all down through the years. What have we done with it? The same thing yesterday that we've done with it today that we'll do with it tomorrow. You know that's the truth. Look at some of you. What have you done? You say, but that doesn't do any good. You're going to. What are you going to do? Well, you just wait. That ain't no good, folks. That ain't no good. You say, well, I'm going to do something tomorrow, but what about today? The Bible said today is the day of salvation. What about the people that are starving to death today? What about the people that are going to hell today? What about the people that went to hell yesterday and starved to death yesterday? What did you do about that? All of that's marked up against you. Every bit of it. You say, not against me, Brother Pike. He said, what I say to one, I say to all. It's marked up against every one of us. In the day of judgment, we got to face it. We either done something for God yesterday, friend, and today, or we done something for our own selves. And I say this again. Selfishness is a cruel thing. When you feed your belly and you feed your face and you lay up a place for you to sleep and you get you something so you can stay warm through the winter and you lay a little cash back so you can feather your nest and the others dying and going to hell and the others starving to death and the works of God around the world struggling, don't you know you're going to go to hell? Don't you know that that's wickedness and that's selfishness? When the Bible said, if you see your brother have need and you shut up your bowels of compassion, how then dwelleth the love of God in you? You couldn't have the love of God. You say, well, what have I got? You got the love of the world. You're following after the things of the world. You are desiring the things of the world. You're doing the things of the world. Therefore, are you not of the world? If you were of God, would not you do the things of God? Would not you have the thoughts of God in your mind? Wouldn't you have the desire of God? Wouldn't you want to do the things of God? Wouldn't you want to be about the Father's business? You say, well, what is the Father's business? To feed the hungry. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the widows and the orphans and their afflictions. Keep yourselves unspotted from the world. That means that you've got to do something. You've got to reach the lost. You've got to spend your entire day, your entire life, trying to reach lost souls, trying to feed hungry people, trying to fellowship the brotherhood, trying to come together to do something. Well, I say, I can't come together with them brothers. No, because you're of the devil, that's the reason. You say, you better repeat then. I said, you're of the devil, that's the reason you can't come together with them. You're of your father the devil, that's what Jesus said. The Bible said, if you walk in the light as he's in the light, you'll have fellowship one with another. You'll never make me believe all these brothers over here is of the devil. There is a brotherhood of God here. And my brother, if you walk in the light, you'll be part of this brotherhood. Whether you're in Tennessee, whether you're in Alabama, wherever you are, when you learn about these brothers, if you've got God, you'll walk hand in hand with them and you'll join hand in hand with them or you'll die and go to hell. Wherever I meet my brother, it doesn't matter where I'm at. If I'm in Tennessee, if I'm in Carolina, if I'm in over in Europe, I meet people in Europe, I meet people, I met them in Norway, I met them everywhere. They was my brother. Riding on the train, I've met him. Riding on the airplanes, I've met him. There was my brother. We joined hand in hand. And he'd say, you know, Brother Pike, I feel a kindred spirit. I'd say, glory to God, I do too. You're my brother. You're my brother. We might not understand altogether what we'd like to understand. You know, you might be growing up a lot bigger than I am, but you're still my brother. And if you're my big brother, let me put my hand in your hand and take my hand and help me because I need your help. Oh, brother, sister, you need to wake up. You need to wake up. It's time that we awoke from our slumber and our sleep. There's people that are dying. You need to get into the work of God. You say, Brother Pike, do you mean I've got to get in here at Bethlehem? I certainly do not, but you've got to be part of Bethlehem and in good fellowship with Bethlehem and love Bethlehem. And not use it for a crutch to say, I'm going to get in good standing so I can slip out of here. You hypocrite. Nobody but a hypocrite would do that. I'm going to ease out. I don't want them to feel bad at me. I don't want them to think wrong of me. I've got to get out of here. I want everything to smooth as butter, you hypocrite. A real godly brother will come up. He'll labor with you and he'll help you and he'll stand with you. And then when he's got a job to do, he'll come and say, "Brethren, God bless you. It breaks my heart," like Paul said, to leave you and the people weeping and hanging around his neck. "My, you're my brother. I love you." That's the only proof of eternal life. You know that you pass from death unto life because you're in love with those brethren. You love those brethren. Oh, and I tell you, if you love God, you won't want to depart from those brethren and from those sisters. They're your whole heart. They're your whole heart. And when you have to go, you'll say, "It breaks my heart. But brother, I've got a job to do for God. I want you to pray for me. Oh, write me. Talk to me. Tell me something. Let me hear from you. And I will you because you're my brother." You love Jesus? All right, I'm going to say this in close. If I can go to mamas and daddies, and I loved my dad while he lived. I love mom. But if you can go to your mamas and daddies, spend your time there when the work of God needs to be done. If you can lounge around home or on the campground, saying it don't take much from me and I don't have to have a lot of money, I can get by and not help these brothers. If you can go to visit with brothers and sisters in the natural and drive miles away, spend money to go there, and you don't never have no time for these brothers and sisters in God, then that is your family. You're still in the flesh. If you can go to the hamburger joints on Friday and on Saturday while the brethren are here at church on Friday night and Wednesday night and the other nights, you couldn't have the love of God. You belong to the world. Your labor's for your belly. The Bible said all of it because it craves it of you. All of your interest is in the world. All of your love is towards your own family. All of you, every one of you that do things like that, you are an outcast from the house of God. You're the child of bondage, in bondage to the beggarly elements of this world. That's why you mock the free child. That's why you find fault with him. Because you are a child of bondage. You're the bondswoman, the world. But we're the free child. Hallelujah. We're free from the beggarly elements of this world, wherein Paul said, "Ye desire to be in bondage again to that." We're free from it. "For the grace of God hath made me free from sin and from evil and the curse of the law." That's why they find fault with us. The world loves its own, but it hates you because you are not of the world. But remember, it hated me first, Jesus said. Appreciate what Sister Holder said the other night. We was talking, her and Ricky came over and talked some with us. We visited together. We was talking about the criticism that went forth concerning Bethlehem when we first came here. How that the devil from every place tried to smother this out and kill this. When the young Methodist brother came from somewhere, California somewhere, and stood and said, "God said that he would erect a monument of praise in the areas of Monroe, Georgia, and this is it." The first time I seen him, the last time I seen him. And they criticized and tried to tear it down. Like Nehemiah, they said, "If a fox runs across the walls, it'll fall down." But they didn't. And Sister Holder made the statement. She said, "You know, working up here somewhere at a relative, wherever," she said, "that is what brought me out to Bethlehem." So that's what started, or she used the terms, "that's what caused me to start searching for the truth." The criticism, the fault finding, the accusations made her think there must be something to it. Everyone that lives godly in Christ Jesus is going to suffer persecution. But you fellas that are so money hungry, so gluttonous for a little prestige, you can't stand a little shame for his name. You can't stand to go through anything for Christ Jesus. You're afraid it might cast a shadow over your path. If you'd look back, you'd find that the trail behind you is filthy and as dirty as it could be. And if the people that you deal with knowed what you've done and the way that you've been, they wouldn't even have any dealings with you. Somebody say, "I love Jesus." All right. You say, Brother Pike, you sure do sound hard. I'm not hard. I'm just telling you the truth. The truth will make you free. Now, if you're not guilty of these things, then why do you whine? I mean, why get upset? If you're not guilty, you ought to feel real good, because I'm talking about those that are without and how the judgment of God is against those and how that they're wretched and evil. You should rejoice with me. If you're out there, then you need to get right with God. All right, let's stand together. I love you. I felt like exhorting you tonight. Some nights I have to keep you a little longer because we get into Revelation and it goes on tape. And if I don't clarify those things and they go out to people out yonder, they get all mixed up. So I have to take a little time and clarify them. And I appreciate those that take enough time to bear with me to where I can help you. One thing I would like to do, and that is get a unity of the people of Bethlehem. I'd like to get a unity. We need a unity. I ask you again, if you cannot unite yourself with us in brotherly love, you that are partaking of the benefits, please let us know. If you don't believe in the rules and regulations of the campground, let us know. If there's anything wrong with our rules and regulations, come like a man or a woman and tell us what it is so that we can change it instead of being critical and tearing down and causing division and trying to poison the mind of the brethren, knowing that you bring the wrath of God upon you. If you don't want to be part of it, if you love the world, then excuse yourself from it and go out to the world that everybody might know that you were never of us to begin with. I believe that a person should be man enough or woman enough to come and let us know what is wrong, where the wrong is, and love me as much as I love you. If I love you enough to tell you, if this isn't the truth, then you need to come and tell me. If it is the truth, you need to obey the truth and have a love for the truth, lest God turn you over to reprobate mind and let you be destroyed. Because it's going to take the truth to set you free. Now, we need a unity. We need a unity in our operation. We need a greater drive for God. We need to do something for the Lord. If you, I say again, you that are violating the principles of the campground continually, and I know people will violate rules and regulations sometimes. There's exceptions to all rules except the Word of God. And I know that sometimes you might violate the principles of the rules. Even the Word of God allows for the fact that you might stumble and violate it as long as it's not willful. And the grace of God will cover it until you can get over that or know better and quit that kind of thing. But you that don't love God enough to obey the rules, if you don't want to honor our rules, why don't you move off the campground and give up your spot and quit causing Brother Pike so much trouble? People constantly come to me and they say, well, Brother Pike, why is this and why is that? And I know a lot of times it's just an old critic and an old devil wanting to find fault. I know that. But a lot of times it's God, that God's upset about it with you. And here's another thing, folks. When you tell me that you're going to do something and abide by those rules, and you don't make any efforts just because your flesh is involved or your relatives, don't you know you've lied to God? And don't you know that over and over you're lying to God? You come to me, and don't you know that you are a liar when you do those things? And the Bible said all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. And don't you know that when you so lie to the Holy Ghost that you're subject to be struck down dead like Ananias and Sapphira was? If God valued the things as he did in that time, concerning the things of God, so values he the things the same today, or he isn't the same today, yesterday and forever. Something was said in men's meeting, and I'm aware of the fact that you're standing. Just be patient with me just a moment, please. Something was said in men's meeting. There was a complaint came in. And just as quick as that complaint come in, there was a man sitting there and his spirit come whirling in like this. And something said to me, this man will run and start a tail bearing, and he's going to go straight to the person that was mentioned about, and there's going to be strife or whatever. Or that was the essence of it. Sure enough, he must have gone. Whether he or whoever, somebody went straight to the person called strife, right straight to them and caused strife. And I believe with all of my heart it was him. I think when we check up, we'll find out it was him. You know, the Bible said, move the tail bearer and you won't be having any strife. When you got strife in a community, and you got strife in the government, and you got strife in the church, you got a tail bearer somewhere. You got somebody going from one brother to another, got, you know, all the time saying something. And that's what causes you strife. Move the tail bearer. There won't be any strife. Brethren, the liars is going to be outside of that city. I tell you again, I love you. But the brotherhood is getting disturbed and they keep coming to me. They make the rules. They pass the rules. You agree to the rules and they're going to serve you a letter to move. You say, oh, I'll never move. Another fellow said that too, and his trailer burned to the ground. God's got a way of moving you if he has to let him take your trailer away from you or let it burn to the ground. God is going to uphold his rules. If you've got a problem, if your child is a problem and you can't rise above that problem, then the Lord knows what to do about that problem. Did you know that? Now, we all have children. And you could lose yours today. I could lose mine today. We're all subject to lose them any time, even if they're living right, let alone doing like some of ours is doing. But whether lose them or not, it still remains the same. If you've got children that you esteem so highly that you can't let them go out and make their own way, when you know they're wallowing in the hog pens of the world and violating all the principles of God, and you're still going to bring them in to cause trouble, God knows what to do about putting them out of commission. And the first news you know, they'll be dead, or they'll be in prison, or something will be happening, or they'll be gone off hundreds of thousands of miles away from you. You can't get to them when they're in trouble. Or it'll never happen. It will happen. You watch and see if it don't happen. It's bound to happen. I was praying for some of my own children just a few nights ago. I said, Lord, you protected them, you blessed them, you've helped them, you've heard my prayer. I said, now some of them is arrogant, unruly, I want you to deal with them. All of a sudden, one of them come and said his arm seemed it was broken. He was having trouble. Here comes another one had trouble with his finance, and just tore him all to pieces. Cost him a lot of extra money. Here come another one that said they fell down on their back and was hurt and had to stay in for days. Then something else happened in the family of the other. See, something will happen. You've heard that saying, something good is going to happen to you. Something bad is going to happen to some of you. So you need to watch out, folks. That great pendulum along the clock's beginning to swing again. I said the other day, Satan was fixing to strike. Since that time, immediately, within 5 to 10 minutes from the time I said it, something struck. Something bad struck, then something else struck, and then something else struck, and then something else struck, and a chain reaction started. So you need to dig in. You need to watch, because at any time, anything can happen. I love you. I want to help you. That's why I tell you this. But I tell you in the name of the Lord, don't feel that you're going to slip by with those things, folks, and constantly breaking the rules on the campground. Don't you think you're going to get by with it? I'm telling you because I want you to know. The brethren have already said that they're not going to tolerate it. And so you can do what you want to and say, well, it won't happen to me, but it'll happen to you just as sure as I'm up here. You watch and see what I'm telling you. You do right. And if you stumble, stagger, make mistakes, nobody's going to bother you. But when you willfully violate things, when you know that it's wrong and you're told over and over, the Bible said that person being often reproved that hardens their heart, stiffens their neck, shall be destroyed, and that without remedy. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. I try to make things just as explicit as I know how to make them. I try to plead the cause just godly and as gentle as I know how to plead it. I try to be as firm as I know how to be, without accusing, without hurting, without ripping people up, without tearing people apart. You know, sometimes it's necessary for a physician to cut and cut deep to get something out of you, because it could cause your death. And sometimes a root of bitterness, I have to go down deep in there to cut it out. Beware lest a root of bitterness springing up within you, thereby many be defiled. Ricky Holder was telling me last night about a boy or man that lost his little daughter or son or whatever it was. I can't remember. One of the children. And he said, Brother Pike said he came on the job where we were and said he was bitter. Said, blaming God. Said that same old thing of people blaming God. God couldn't be very good, or he wouldn't have done that to me. But folks, I tell you, God didn't do that. Ricky tried to set him straight, to let him know that God didn't do that. God doesn't do that. God said, I come that you might have life. Jesus said in that more abundantly. I'm the Prince of Life. I'm the giver of life. I gave you the children. I gave you your health. I gave you your mother and daddy. I gave you happiness. I gave you all the good things of life. I didn't come to take them from you, to rob you. The devil is a thief. He's the robber that comes to steal life and steal virtue and steal your loved ones, to rob, to steal, and to kill. And who gave place to him? Somebody said, yeah, but God could have stopped him. The Bible said, don't you give place to the thief and the robber. God didn't give place to him. You gave place to him. God did everything he could to keep him out. You say, prove it. Anytime a man takes nails in his hands and feet and thorns in his head, and they plow his back with a whip until the blood runs down his vesture like a river, I think he's done all he could to keep him out. Don't you? You're the guilty party. If he comes in, you and I are the guilty party. So then, let's don't blame the Lord with our own evil way of doing. You know, if I as much as bump my head, I begin to check up. I do. It's been my way down through the years. If I as much as bump my head, I check up. Because I know somewhere I've let the devil in. Something has happened. Somewhere. I might not have meant to. I might have stumbled and staggered. There might be grace to cover whatever it was in my carelessness. But somehow, somewhere, something, the devil got a lick at me. So I watched. Jesus said, watch and pray. Stand steadfast in the faith. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God. I want to say this in closing. As long as we have an old jealous, sarcastic, unreasonable, sour disposition, fault-finding, accusing, always finding fault, excusing ourselves from the duties of God, always evil surmising, the Bible said, always surmising something, thinking something in our mind contrary. As long as we do that, we'll never have God, and we'll never have the victory of Christ. We'll never have the things of God in our heart. As long as we violate the principles of God and make allowance for our children and others, that's how long we're going to have trouble with our children, problems with our children. Brother, you can't imagine the problems that some of you got ahead with your family because of what you've done. You think you've had heartaches, you just don't know yet. The better thing to do, the Bible said, correct thy son and he shall give thee rest. For a foolish son maketh a sad father. Spare the rod and spoil the child. A son left to himself shall bring shame. He shall bring shame. All right, let's sing the chorus. Sweep over my soul. Can we sing that together? Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul, for my rest is complete.
while I sit at your feet, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven. Can you sing it with me? Don't you love him tonight? Sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Just slip your hands up for a few minutes, will you? I love you. I love you with all of my heart, to the best of my knowledge. I wouldn't try to hurt you or do nothing in any way to distort your mind or to steer you wrong or to cause you to lose out with God. But folks, honestly, the end of the world is here. What are we going to do? What will we do with Jesus? It was asked. What do we do with Jesus? Oh, when you lay down and press your death pillow, you see that preacher that hollered at me, oh my God, I wish I'd have listened to what he said. For those words would be so sweet to my soul now. Oh, if I'd have only done my best to honor and obey and to love, how sweet heaven would be now as I enter in through the gates. But oh, the awfulness of my departure should I fail to heed his way of life, when all of a sudden the death angel shall appear. And what will you say to him, or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? If you gain the whole world, whose treasures then shall they be? Folks, you have but one treasure, that's your soul. You're going to leave your wife. You're going to leave your husband. You're going to leave your children. You're going to leave this world. You're going to leave your business. You're going to leave your money. You're going to leave your automobile, your prestige. You don't have but one treasure. You're going to leave your position. All you're going to do, what are you going to do in the day of judgment? You're going to leave all your friends. All you have is your soul. Treasure your soul. Get your soul ready. Make everything right.